Welcome to this episode of the Swim Swam Podcast. I'm your host, Coleman Hodges. Joining me today, Swim Swam co-founders, CEO Gold Medal Mel Stewart and Editor-in-Chief Braden Keith. We are here to dive into this doping scandal coming out of China, where 23 Chinese swimmers were said to have tested positive for TMZ in January of 2021, and it was not reported to the public for over 3 years. And the story just came out over the weekend. There's been tons of breaking news about it since then. But we're going to give you our perspective on it and go into all the nitty-gritty details of how this happened, why this happened, and where it's going from here.
This episode of the Swim Swam Podcast is sponsored by Commit Swimming, Swim Swam's exclusive team management software partner. Since 2015, Commit has been providing coaches with swimming's leading workout management software. And now, Commit has team management software too. Commit wants to help you make the switch from Team Unify to a simpler, more powerful solution. Their onboarding and customer service team will walk you through every step of the way. Check them out at commitswimming.com to book your demo today. That's commitswimming.com.
This has been moving so fast. I haven't even had a chance to talk to Braden and say, hey, you know, when we got those first emails, we got the first text messages, what did I had gotten the messages and it was explosive, but this always happens the summer before the Olympic Games. Had you received text messages and any phone calls or any information before I said, hey, this is what I'm getting?
Yeah, your source was the first one we heard from. And not long after that, we heard from several others. Mel's source was kind of a secondhand, third hand source. So at that point in time, we were sort of digging for what else might be going on or what the full story might be. We eventually connected with two athletes who were involved, and none of the American athletes want to be named because they want to stay out of the quagmire. We've seen what happens to athletes that get involved in these doping scandals, and they want to stay out of it. They don't want to be the next target. So that night or that afternoon, I should say, we heard from
two athletes. This was Friday afternoon.
Yeah, Friday afternoon. We heard from two athletes who said that they were contacted by the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency with information about a massive cover-up of Chinese doping before the Tokyo 2021 Olympics. Those were their words, not ours. And that they were told that the gold medals would be reallocated for the 800 free relay, and presumably for other events as well. As we went live on this, the Herald Sun in Australia, basically at the same moment, not coordinated, but at almost exactly the same minute, went live on this story of 23 Chinese swimmers who tested positive before the Tokyo Olympics and essentially had no consequences. And if anybody saw that original story, it was pretty vague. Was unclear if that was related to what we were receiving, because there had been other previous rumors about a Chinese athlete from Tokyo who may have tested positive. And those rumors were actually from China, which gives them a different level of credibility. And those rumors have been around for years. And so it was unclear if our information was related to that story or if it was unrelated to that story. Still not entirely clear. But the next, so we ran our story, they ran their story. And throughout the evening, this became very interesting because it came out that the New York Times and this German news agency, ARD, had been working on this story for several years. And the Australian reporter who first reported the 23 swimmers, he's a credible journalist. He's an award-winning journalist. But it's not clear that he's been working on this story for years. And so there have been some kind of muffled accusations that ARD and New York Times were getting close to running their stories. And that's why all of a sudden everybody was getting phone calls. That's why the Herald Sun was breaking this news. Unclear who was motivated to do what. But, you know, Julian Linden has not come out and said, I've been working on this story for years. So there's still a lot of murkiness around sort of the politics behind the breaking of the story, because I don't get the sense that the New York Times and ARD were planning on releasing that on Friday. Maybe it was Saturday. Maybe they were scooped by 24 hours. Maybe they were scooped by weeks. Friday was also the first day of the Chinese Olympic trials. And that's Australia. Here in America, we have a you know, kind of an eye and a geopolitical rivalry with China. But Australia, I think, feels that even more heavily through their media. And so Australia was an interesting and thought-provoking choice for somebody who might want to leak that news to a journalist who has reported negative stories about China before. So that's kind of where we got to on Friday night. By the time I went to bed on Friday, I had a denial from USADA, asked a follow-up question. Well, then why have multiple athletes said this is true? To which we still have not received a response. You know, they were very interested in just talking to us on midnight at Friday, but they weren't interested in talking to us on Saturday morning. And then on Saturday morning, we heard from the coach of another impacted athlete who did not explicitly tell us about the gold medals, told us about the phone calls, didn't know. Apparently this athlete, the caller wasn't identified, which was kind of odd. So we start thinking, well, was it USADA at all? I think at this point we've spoken to enough other athletes and relatives of athletes so that we can confirm it was USADA. It feels like what probably happened was there was a miscommunication in the chain of communication between USADA, the athletes, and us, where some leg of that got overzealous. You know, without recording of the phone calls, we'll never know exactly what happened. But it feels likely that somebody said, we're going to get you your gold medals that you earned. And that was sort of what the athletes took away from it.
There are two things going on here. And just to let people inside our process, they should know this. As soon as a story like this breaks, or anything that is sensitive, we'll hear in the background. And we heard from World Aquatics. And World Aquatics, you know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Braden, but the message was, we would appreciate it if you'd reach out to us for a statement before you report this. Wasn't that that was the gist of it, correct? Right. And the truth is, this has nothing to do with them. As editor-in-chief, your mission is to go live with the information that you have, acting like the fourth estate, and to follow the truth. Right. It was interesting that we got that message, but that's very consistent with the way governing bodies operate. And I didn't get a message like that from USA Swimming, but I did hear from USA Swimming leadership, the C-suite, all the way to the top, saying, just so you know, this is like in the background, just so you know, we have not been told that there are any DQs from the 2021 Olympic Games. And their message is the subtext of that message is, make sure you're bulletproof on what you're going live with. So I think there's a certain level of tension in the background, and you're kind of going, okay, what's true? We know what we're hearing, but someone might be lying. Right. And that's a very uncomfortable place. And you've depicted this as the way this news is developed, as maybe someone at USADA was overzealous. I don't think so. I think by Sunday, Monday, it felt clear to me that this was Travis Tygart. And this was a campaign, and this was coordinated, and he has a mission. And I could be wrong, but that's my opinion as I'm sitting here now.
Yeah. And our original reporting, and again, you know, we always have to be aware of how the public will perceive what we're writing. If we think we're writing something in a nuanced way, we repeatedly said, you know, athletes received calls about this. You know, and this would reallocate the medals. Those were the tenses that we used, because we didn't have a statement from anybody who had the authority to reallocate medals. Obviously USADA doesn't, the athletes themselves don't. We had no sources from places that had the authority to do that. We did have is the athletes were told this. They were told that there would the Chinese relay was being disqualified. And that's what's pretty interesting about this is that the calls were focused on the 800 free relay, which of course was not the only medal that China won during the Olympic Games. So that's what I can't get too specific on who we talked to, but the calls were focused on the 800 free relay specifically, which is pretty interesting.
Let's unpack this for a second. Just think about this for a second. You've gone to the Olympic Games and you have earned podium position at bronze or silver. And someone calls you and even the content of the phone call from USADA might not have been, hey, you're going to get a gold medal or there is a DQ. But if it even hints at that, your brain processes that differently. You're hearing, oh, if there's even a slight chance, that's the way they're going to accept that information.
Interesting is that clarification apparently didn't happen on two of the phone calls with two athletes who say that they were told XYZ. There was no clarification during the call.
So that kind of brings us to the purpose of these phone calls, which we can only infer. We kind of thought it was this one thing on Friday when they started and we started hearing about it. And then we kind of, our position changed, right, by the beginning of this week, by Sunday and Monday. So let's get some background on the USADA leader, Travis Tygart. What we've seen from him in the past and what might motivate him to lead his association to do something like this, to start this conversation or to start making people aware of this, you know, what's being called a doping scandal. Mel?
When I think of Travis Tygart, I think right now through the lens of WADA and their pushback on him, and with very specifically, they're saying, hey, you know, this has happened on U.S. soil, and Tygart, you've advocated for keeping it quiet, and Travis Tygart hit back saying, first of all, this, you know, I didn't have purview on that. These 10 athletes you're referring to are not U.S. athletes. And that leads me to believe, wait a minute, are there other positive tests and you're not talking about it and you swept it under the rug? I think that, and I also think back to Travis Tygart having purview over all sport, specifically cycling, and going up against Lance Armstrong. And Lance Armstrong, if you've forgotten, was the Tour de France winner over and over and over. He was cycling. He had extraordinary political power. He could ostracize people from the market. He was an economic juggernaut for himself, but for the sport. And Travis Tygart was like this old West sheriff with the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency. And he walked into town, pulled out his six shooter and said, no, I'm coming for you. And did, and pulled it off. And that was a U.S. athlete. So I feel like we have a track record with Travis Tygart that is, this guy's, I think he's honorable. And this feels like I can feel the frustration in his comments. It sounds like he's outraged.
Yeah, and Travis Tygart is a very smart guy. He understands the politics of these things. He understands the beginning, the middle, the end of these things. And so you know he has a plan, right? He's not, ultimately WADA can do what they want. And the risk to WADA, just like every governing body of every sport everywhere in the world, these organizations are deeply entrenched because of the math, right? You can't make any change at World Aquatics because there are 200 something members, and the members that are engaged at the level of USA Swimming, Australia, China are a tiny fraction of those members. And a couple scholarships here, a couple scholarships there, a little bit of financial support, which isn't a bribe, but it's financial support for athletes from underfunded countries, goes a long way when every country gets a vote. So WADA's it's hard to touch WADA. If WADA says we followed this process, period, end of story, there's not a lot of things that anybody can do to take it from there. They can take it to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, which is a very letter of the law organization. They tend to follow the letters of the law. And so far with what we have, it seems like WADA has followed, and Chinata for that matter, have followed the letter of the law. And so Tiger probably knows that. And so besides sort of the public campaign, which I don't know, the WADA is funded by so many different countries, who cares what the public thinks? You have to wonder what his goal is. And it feels to me like Travis Tiger is trying to get WADA into U.S. courts. Because when WADA winds up in U.S. courts, that opens legal discovery, which means they can ask WADA for documentation of lots of things that have happened ever. They won't necessarily get it, but they can ask for a lot of things. They can possibly prosecute under U.S. anti-doping laws, which has criminal results for certain doping activities. It opens up a lot of tools for Travis Tiger in his crusade against doping. And you know, that he doesn't seem to care that WADA wants to sue him for defamation, which may or may not be a real thing. But I think he's trying to bait this into the U.S. court system and then see what he can find out.
Oh, he wants this. Yeah. He's standing on the corner going, let's throw some punches. Let's go. I'm ready. Right. What's interesting is that, we're about to report, I don't know if we're live yet, but WADA has assigned a special prosecutor, Eric Cottier, from Switzerland. And when someone assigns a special prosecutor, it sounds like, you know, hey, we're gonna have an independent review. And so I'm consuming this information going, okay, well, they're saying, look, you know, we're beyond reproach. We would do exactly the same thing again, which they've said, if we had to review this case again. And I was thinking maybe this story is losing steam and maybe there's no there. And then I see Travis Tigart's quote saying they've hand selected their prosecutor and they're setting parameters on his investigation. And in a nutshell, he uses the word whitewash. And that's frightening to think that the head of USADA, the CEO from, you know, we're based in the United States, but it's like just this one guy saying no at every turn. There's a lot of smoke here.
Mm-hmm. And it's such a polarizing topic. The independent investigator, I think, is a good step. We'll have to dig into who this guy is and where his loyalties might lie. But at the end of the day, I think 98% of the world has made up their mind on this story. And if the prosecutor finds what they believe, they're going to say he did a great job. And if the prosecutor finds what they didn't believe, those people are going to say that he was corrupt and purchased.
We should have said something at the top of this, and it seems sounds ridiculous, but in the event that this was contamination, in the event that this was an unfortunate situation, it's very sad for these Chinese swimming stars.
Who apparently didn't know.
Who didn't know. And because WADA didn't handle this correctly. If they had handled it correctly, they would have gone public. With the Olympics coming up so quickly, they could have prioritized their investigation. But now that now that we're into the future and they've handled it the way they've handled it, we're at a situation where 98% of people are going to assume that they cheated. Which opens, and then
98% of Western people will.
That's correct. Western people. That's correct. Yeah.
So and, and that's Travis Tigert has said publicly that he believes that accidental contamination of food should not be made public. He said that in 2019. Everybody seems to agree that there's a different standard for food versus supplements. You can test every supplement you take. It's unreasonable to expect an athlete to test every bite of food that they take in their lives. And so, you know, the 2 months is what makes it tough for people, I think. The 2 months between contamination and testing of the kitchen. That's what's a hard pill to swallow, no pun intended.
With the addition of that, this was COVID. We were in our COVID window in China, and China was very, very protective and militant about shutdowns. And this is a restaurant that wouldn't have cleaned over and over and over. And then suddenly, it sounds like, yes, it smells and sounds like it was planted.
Well, and I heard from a parent of an American athlete who is, for lack of better phrasing, intimately familiar with the anti-doping process, who just proposed that through their research, there's so much contamination coming out of Chinese factories. And we've, in the comments, discussed a study on this. It says between 15 and 65% of supplements are contaminated, that it's entirely conceivable that the cleaning supplies could have been contaminated. Like, that's not outside of the realm of reason. And I think what this basically brings up is that the anti-doping system is broken. You know, there's the testing has almost become so good in an effort to find microdosing and other advanced technologies that it's become immensely good at identifying problems within the manufacturing processes of almost everything. And I sort of have a working theory that 90% of the accidental contaminations we hear about are probably actually accidental contaminations, and that 90% of the athletes who are doping, we don't hear about. I think that's the reality, because we've heard a lot of people who have proven their accidental contaminations, and we decide whether we believe it or not based on their nationality. Like, that's the reality that not we as SwimSwam, we as the swimming public. And that's kind of how it goes. And I can't tell the difference between Madison Cox's excuse and Yulia Efimova's excuse. They both, to me, are equally credible. And that's what makes all of this so tough. And there's a different angle when you're talking about state sponsored versus sort of independent swimmers going off and doing their own thing. But, you know, I think that there is a whole ream of doping out there. When you spend enough time around athletes, and you guys know this, they all have names that they don't believe are doping, that they say they know are doping. And it's not always the other guy, right? It's not always Ryan Murphy, we don't know. I wish we could compete in a clean field. It's sometimes their friends. And, you know, we don't have the resources to chase these things and prove them. They're probably unprovable. But you hear from athletes about doping from people who never get caught. And so I think that there's a whole underworld of dopers who aren't getting caught. And there's a whole slew of contaminations that are resulting in positives and you know, failures of paperwork. We just reported on another one where a guy was taking a medicine under the care of the doctor and he just didn't do the paperwork, and so he got a 2-year suspension, a para swimmer. So it feels like a broken system. This exposes it to me. It exposes just how easy it is for national anti-doping agencies to sort of make up their own narratives when they choose to. I don't think USADA does that for American athletes, but I think it's possible in any country under any given administration. If Travis Tygart moves on, somebody else takes over. I think it's equally possible in the U.S. People drink their own Kool-Aid. So I think the big takeaway here is just the exposure of the gaps in the system, and that the system is not working.
Let me share something with you culturally. I mentioned it to Coleman. He's like, tread lightly, and I will, Coleman. My era on the national team started in the 1980s and bled into the 90s, but the coaches were all coaches of the 1970s. They were all coaches who dealt with the 1976 East German doping, which bled into the 80s. And they were so emotional and so angry about that. You know, USA Swimming produced a documentary about it, The Last Gold. And it's, but what was interesting, and it's like, I was the way we were spoken to, so we, the national team would come together, you would have these private meetings that, you know, we're building team cohesion, and there's this tension of, is someone cheating? And they would, the coaches would tell us, you can just expect that they're going to be cheating. You need to be better. You need to be greater. So in a sense, just acquiescing and going, look, they're going to be cheaters. You know, your mission is to go win anyway, or medal anyway, or swim the best performance that you can anyway. And I thought we were kind of past this. And it's only since watching Editor in Chief Braden Keith, you know, develop through the years that I've thought, wow, this feels hyper complicated, but at the same time, I feel like we've come full circle. Are we about to go into a games where coaches are going to be in team meetings and they're going to be telling their athletes what I was told in the 1980s?
Yeah. And what's tough about this whole thing is like the Lance Armstrong got away with it. This is a great example. Lance Armstrong got away with it for so long, right? The implausibility that the Chinese government system, whoever, is doping every single one of its athletes with the same drug and screwed up the system. Whatever systems they would have in place in theory to cover that up, screwed up the system so badly that 23 of them tested positive at the same time. And then they chose to report that to WADA. Like, that seems highly implausible to me, especially with TUE systems, therapeutic use exemptions. Like, if you're doping your athletes, there are so many ways to get away with it. It just seems implausible to me that they would accidentally, I don't know if I buy the food contamination story versus, well, we had to come up with a story and this is it. But it's hard for me to wrap my head around that they screwed up the testing cycle or the TUEs or whatever the situation would be in a state-sponsored doping program so badly that all of those athletes missed at the same time. That just doesn't make sense to me.
So let's just, I think we're wrapping up here. This is, you know, we have a special prosecutor. Tigard isn't backing down. Travis Tigard, our CEO of USADA, isn't backing down, obviously. Where do you see this going? Are we in a slog that's going to be years? Looking into your crystal ball, what's the future and are some potential outcomes? And secondarily, is this as big as FIFA? I mean, how big is this? How big is the story? How impactful is this going to be? What do you think?
I think the rhythm of this is it's going to quiet down in the next few days. People are still going to be excited about the Olympics. It will crop up a little bit once the Olympics come around and the Chinese swimmers inevitably win medals. At some point, probably after the Olympics, WADA will release the results of the special prosecutor. There'll be a little blip, and then it will just sort of fade into swimming lore. One of these things where everybody vaguely remembers the details. They remember that they're angry about it. It reinforces their idea that all the Chinese are doping or all the Americans are doping if you're Chinese. And it'll just fade away because, you know, the what levers do we really have to pull? Government funding, which was already threatened before this. The Trump administration threatened to pull WADA funding. But then you run into issues of eligibility because national Olympic committees and sporting federations can be suspended if the government becomes too involved in their activities, which we've seen happen. And we don't know where that line is and who that line applies to and who it doesn't apply to. It applies to places like Kenya, but will it apply to the United States of America? Because at the end of the day, this is all still a business. I don't know. So I don't think we know where it's going yet. I don't think we know what the everybody's end motive is. But that's just how these things go. Now that they have a special prosecutor on it, I think things are going to get quiet for a while until that report comes out, because there's not much else to say until then. I think everybody has said what they want to say until then. And again, if Travis Tigard has a goal, if getting a special prosecutor to independently investigate this is not that goal, then what is the goal? And we don't know yet. I think we'll find out eventually. This is the most transparency we have ever gotten into anything in Olympic sports, which is sort of the upside of it. It's been interesting to sort of learn a lot about the processes and the communications that go on. But beyond that, I don't know, man.
I have a question. It's in terms of opinion, because you don't have an answer, but it's a, you know, we heard from World Aquatics early Saturday morning, which we were, you know, they work 9 to 5. We work 24 hours a day. I wouldn't have been surprised if the answer had come at like, the email had come at 9 a.m. on Monday, Swiss time. I think that World Aquatics, USA Swimming, British Swimming, Australian Swimming, Chinese Swimming, I think most people like to stay out of the doping. They like being separate. They like them doing their job. They don't want any part of this because of liability. Mm-hmm. But I also know that when people live in a specific ecosystem, that relationships are built and people talk behind the scenes. And so I'm always asking myself, did anybody know anything? Were there rumblings? Was this an open secret? Are there other open secrets? I think it can be one of the two things. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's hard to believe that these two massive news organizations were working on this for 2 years and Tim Hinchey didn't get a call. You know, it just seems, I guess he would probably be their last call. He wouldn't be their first call. But it just, Tim Hinchey and Travis Tygart, I'm sure, know each other, right? Who knows? But it's hard to believe. Travis Tygart didn't find out about it until 2023, apparently after these investigations had begun. So that, because that was WADA's initial response, was we knew about this for years before you told us about your confidential informant. So that, you know, the timing of it is the most interesting thing to me. I want to know what it all means about who knew what and when they knew it and what that all means.
Maybe we'll find out soon, but probably not. I mean, so Mel, maybe you can just give some insight to close this out. But, you know, it sounds like there's not going to be a resolution of any kind for a while. But we have the Olympics in 3 months where so many athletes are competing. And obviously so many athletes are feeling a certain way about this situation. I think the stock answer is just go as fast as you can, right? Stay in your own lane. The age old swimming adage. But how do you go into an Olympic Games thinking, is my competition cheating?
I want to hear from Braden on this, and I because I'm looking into the crystal ball and wondering how this is going to go. And Braden mentioned that it's probably going to, that now we have a special prosecutor, Eric Cottier, that it's going to, it's going to stick a pin in this for a while. It's going to slow down for a bit. I think that this is a really tough situation for everyone in Olympic sport. WADA is in the crosshairs, because every time somebody competes, it's going to be with this backstory and the drama of that there are cheaters out there. I think if you're a producer at NBC, you know they're going to love journalistically telling this story. I think every news organization that's been reporting this is going to continue to report it, and more are going to come online and report. And so I see this being, I see the story getting bigger and bigger. And because we're only talking, you know, it began with just the 4x2 relay, but there's so much involved. So I think we're in a tough spot. And my gut feeling was that this is going to keep going for a few years, but I think that we might have some sort of a resolution mid-quad. But I don't know. There's going to be a lot of conversations going on in the background asking who knew when and what.
You've been listening to the Swim Swam podcast. Stay tuned for new episodes every week. You can take Swim Swam Podcast on the go by subscribing on your favorite podcast platform. Look for links in the description below, and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more videos as well.